This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. When you have time, check out the Accessible Media Inc. Facebook page. Lots of great conversation going on, especially with AMI Connect coming up. So many things to check out over there. Like it, if you would. Also, send messages to feedback at AMI.ca if you have questions about anything going on. Maybe you want to know something about AMI Connect or AMI Tele, AMI TV, or the gang over here at AMI Audio. Of course, you can always slide over to Twitter and communicate with us that way and keep up with what's on the programs, but also ask your questions at AMI Audio is the best way to do that. I'm Kelly McDonald, host of the program with Ramya Mutha.
On Tuesdays, we like to check in with our veterinarian. She always comes here with some great updates and things to keep in mind for our pets. Let's bring on Danielle Jeankind.
The human-animal bond plays such an important role in people's lives, and as a veterinarian, it's my privilege to help keep those bonds strong and healthy. I'm Dr. Danielle Jeankind, and welcome to Ask a Veterinarian.
Danielle, spring is here and summer is on its way, which means there are more opportunities for parasites to be infecting our pets. We want to know how big of a deal it is for parasites and which ones we should really be worried about this time around. And also, what can we do about these parasites? And we're going to ask you these questions. So what kind of parasites can our pets get?
Well, you know, there's quite a few, and I think most everybody has heard about intestinal worms, you know, which most pets get from eating stuff that they shouldn't, like other animal feces, drinking contaminated water, or from hunting and eating wild animals like mice, for example. Also, dogs and to a much lesser extent, cats can potentially get heartworm from mosquito bites. And heartworm is not the same as intestinal worms. A lot of people kind of mistake one for the other. They assume worms are worms, but heartworm is a little bit different. External parasites, you know, are also pretty common. So things like fleas and ticks, you know, those are probably the best known examples. But occasionally, you know, I'll see cases of lice or mange as well. Except for ticks, external parasites are always picked up from another infested animal or a place where an infested animal has been pretty recently. And, you know, ticks, of course, are picked up from the environment. In southern Ontario, this usually means wooded areas, you know, areas with long grass and conservation areas. Ticks dehydrate easily in the sun, so you're much less likely to find them around pavement or in areas with shortcut grass with no shrubs for cover. So, you know, that long grass that you go running through or, you know, the woods, like those are the areas where you're most likely to find ticks.
Are parasites a big deal? Like, how worried should we be about them?
Well, you know, it's kind of actually a complicated question, you know, because under some circumstances, parasites really aren't something to freak out over. But of course, under the right circumstances or wrong circumstances, depending on which way you want to look at it, they can actually be a big deal. A good example, you know, I don't worry about major health problems for a dog who has a few roundworms in its intestine. You know, a few worms isn't going to hurt the dog, and it's easy to get rid of them with medication. But having said that, should those things manage to infect a child living in the same house, that can result in a condition in humans called visceral larval migraines. And that can be a big deal. So, you know, even though for the dog that wasn't such a big deal, you know, it's not something you just want to kind of let go and leave. Another example, of course, would be ticks, you know, unless they are present and sucking a lot of blood out of your pet because of vast numbers of them, the tick itself doesn't actually cause any harm to your pet at all. If that tick happens to be carrying a disease that they managed to give to your pet while feeding, that could turn into a big deal, even though the tick itself is relatively harmless. So, you know, generally speaking, it's best for your pet and, you know, and your human family not to have to deal with parasites. You know, probably better to prevent those things, get rid of those things, and avoid those things as much as possible.
Okay. Yeah. Once we start getting into it, it does sound like it can be pretty scary if we're unaware. What medications are there and are available to kind of prevent parasite-related disasters in our pets?
Well, you know, those medications, you know, they kind of fall into two categories. And, you know, the first category are medications that prevent parasite-related illnesses, you know, and infections. So most of the heartworm, flea and tick medications, you know, can fall into that category. So, you know, a lot of these are just oral medications, you know, you give them monthly, or some of them are given every 3 months, depending on which product you're using. For pets with food allergies, or, you know, we all know we have those pets who are picky and they don't want to eat oral medications, or they're difficult to pill. You know, there are some topical products available, and those are nice for those kinds of pets that won't take pills, because you just put them on the skin, you know, and that's easy to administer. The thing to remember is these don't all work the same way. Mm-hmm. For example, you know, some of these topical medications will actually get carried through the skin and get into the bloodstream and work from the inside out. And, you know, some of these medications, these topical ones, will stay on the surface of the skin and hair and work that way. So they don't actually go into the body. And, you know, and I hear a lot of clients say, you know, oh, I have that stuff you put on the back of the neck. But they don't realize that there are different ways that these things work, and they're not all the same. The second category of medications for parasites, you know, are those that treat pets who already have them, you know. So, for example, oral deworming medication is a good example of this. So, you know, when you give that medication, it gets rid of anything that's susceptible in there, but it doesn't prevent them from picking up more. So sometimes, you know, with those types of things, you have to keep giving them on a regular basis if that animal is prone to picking those particular parasites up, because there's nothing you could do to stop them from getting them, but you can treat them if they already have them.
Interesting on what your use of the word prone, because that's what I think about. Some of us are more prone to have this issue, have, you know, contract this and easy. It just seems to be the way our body works or doesn't, or maybe our environment. So I kind of, when you said that, I was about to say, hey, is it just maybe a makeup of a pet's body that makes them attract something more? I know one of the questions, though, Danielle, that people would really have, because we stop and say, well, what can we share? What can't we? How available is any of these treatments, the products we're talking about, are they available the ones that are available over the counter in a pet store or online, are they actually the same as what vets carry?
Sure. And, you know, and a lot of people really want to know about that. And it's important to know that, you know, there may be some differences, you know, because, you know, definitely, I mean, there are things available over the counter, things that are available online. And, you know, and we get a lot of, you know, things, people coming in and saying, you know, oh, I have something already, you know, and we know we didn't give it to them. So, you know, they want to know, what is it that they have? And, you know, is it something that, you know, is going to work? Like, you know, how is all this going to play into it? But, you know, it is definitely, the products may not necessarily be the same. So, you know, anything available in like a brick or mortar store, you know, has to be a non-prescription product, you know, which may or may not be as effective as a prescription product. So, you know, you have to pay attention to the small fine print on the package that tells you about that kind of stuff. Getting prescriptions online is a bit of a buyer beware situation.
Right, I would think so.
You know, yeah, there is a problem with illegal parasite prevention products being sold online. You know, in order to get a legitimate prescription product for a pet in Ontario, your veterinarian must provide a signed prescription for the pharmacist. So, you know, if the company you're buying from doesn't ask for one of those, you really don't know what you're actually getting. You know, there's been reports of printing fake packaging to fool people, you know, to think that they're buying something that isn't what they actually wanted. And, you know, maybe the product is manufactured internationally and isn't even approved for use in Canada. So, you know, very much a buyer beware situation. So you definitely want to know what you're getting, and be sure you can trust the source you're getting it from. The other reason, you know, to be careful about is that choosing the right parasite prevention product for your pet isn't exactly easy. For example, I've encountered situations where people put over-the-counter dog, flea, and tick products on their cats without reading the packaging and not realizing that those products were actually toxic to cats. There's also... Yeah, so, you know, you really do have to read that packaging and understand what's going on before you make any decisions there. There's also the risk of putting your pet on the wrong medication because you didn't know that all tick prevention is not created equal, like it's not all the same. Certain medications that kill some ticks don't kill all species of ticks. And really, like when you think, how many people know which species of ticks are around where they go with their pets and which medications will get those types? Everybody kind of thinks, you know, ticks are ticks. And if it gets one type of tick, it'll get them all. And that isn't necessarily the case. And when you think about it, like an ineffective parasite prevention program is, it's a waste of money on your part. You know, it's a risk to your pet and your family's health. It's your vet's job to know these parasite life cycles, and they are supposed to know the geographic distribution of parasites in your area. They also, based on your pet's lifestyle, can assess the risk parasites pose to your pet and your family. Maybe they'll even decide that medication won't be necessary for your pet because they're unlikely to encounter anything that you need to worry about. You know, vets know the potential side effects of medications and whether your pet's breed or health status affects which medication they can have, because it might, right? Mm-hmm. And they know that dogs who live with cats have to be careful about taking certain medications. So, you know, the bottom line is if you choose to buy something online, over the counter, or something like that, you know, you cut yourself off from all of that knowledge and take all of that responsibility on yourself. So, I mean, that's worth considering. You know, you have to make your own decision on these things, but, you know, definitely it's something to think about.
Well, it's definitely a thing where you might not know where to even start, Danielle. I mean, you've pointed out so many different avenues where things are risky and things could go wrong, and or you don't have enough information. So I wouldn't even know where to start personally. What other strategies besides medication, if there are any, can be used to prevent parasites in pets?
Well, you know, there are lots of reasons why some people don't want to or can't, you know, put their pet on parasite prevention, you know, and so if this is you, you know, have a conversation with your vet about it. You know, they can certainly assess the risks to your pet and tell you how to avoid them, you know. And, you know, I have this conversation a lot with people. I mean, there are some people that are very, very much worried about pharmaceuticals and, you know, using things that, you know, that might have side effects or, you know, for whatever reason. But some general rules of thumb, you know, would be don't let your pet eat feces of any kind. Okay. You know, like a lot of us have bunnies in our backyards and, you know, and that sort of thing, or, you know, cat litter boxes for the cat that goes outside and the dog comes in and goes, oh, this looks like fun. You know, mm-hmm. Those kinds of situations are avoidable. So, you know, that's a good way to prevent your pet from getting a lot of parasites. Another thing is to avoid letting them drink from potentially contaminated water. So if you are a cottager, camper, hiker, and, you know, and you bring your dog with you, for example, or you have a cat that goes outside, ponds, lakes, rivers, you know, those kinds of things could potentially, you know, have nasty bacteria or parasites in them, things like Giardia. So you definitely want to avoid your pet drinking from these bodies of water. The other thing is to avoid mosquito bites, to avoid the risk of heartworms. So, you know, don't walk at dawn and dusk when the mosquitoes are most active. You know, you can use pet safe mosquito repellents, or they make mosquito jackets for dogs. You know, if you're not going to put your pet on a heartworm prevention for whatever reason, then these are definitely things you can do that can reduce the risk for your pet. Mm-hmm. Stick to walking your pets in areas that are unlikely to have ticks. So if you don't want your pet on a tick prevention, then, you know, city sidewalks, cut grass, you know, those sorts of things, without a lot of shrubbery around, like those should be fairly safe places to avoid ticks. But stay out of the woods and the long grass.
Danielle. Thank you so much. We're going to pause there. Next week, we're talking about the vet version of what to expect when your pet is expecting. Looking forward to it.
Okay, see you then.
Danielle Jeankind on Ask a Veterinarian.
In a moment, nutrition. Stand by.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.